B-Pod Studios.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
11:58, 97.5 The Fanatic. I'm Andrew Salchunas. Filling in for Anthony's off today. We'll be back on Monday. We've got two open lines right now. If you want to get them, 610-632-0975. Now, during that, the legal ID, the top of the hour ID, it mentioned the Sixers station, which, of course, we are here at 97.5 The Fanatic. And I want to let you know about 7-6 Day, which is coming up on Monday. And this is awesome. This is going to be great. 97.5 The Fanatic, of course, we're helping the Sixers celebrate their day on the calendar, 7-6 Day. And it's awesome because we're also preparing, right, for the return of basketball. The end of the month, the Sixers are playing. It's not like, you know, the Sixers got bounced back in May and we're celebrating 7-6 Day. No, we're celebrating 7-6 Day. We're getting ready for the return of NBA basketball, the return of 76ers basketball. NBA insiders, special guests from the Sixers will join us throughout the day. And you can win some awesome 76ers autographed prizes every hour starting at 7 a.m. We're going to have a Fanatic tent and crew in our West Lobby parking lot handing out 76ers t-shirts to people who just simply drive by and ask for one. That also starts at 7 a.m. So if you just drive by on Monday, 7-6 Day, you get a nice free t-shirt. Everybody loves
I've seen the t-shirts. They're nice.
Are they?
Yeah.
I haven't seen them.
Nice.
Is it Sixers Fanatic, like that kind of stuff?
No, it's a red shirt. It's got a Sixers logo on it and whatnot.
That's awesome.
Gets you ready for the playoffs.
All right, I'm in on that. 7-6 Day on the Fanatic is powered by Parks Casino and Sportsbook. The number one casino in Pennsylvania is back open with plenty of space for social distancing. Must be 21 or older. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. And yesterday on Mike's show, Mike was talking about some of the prizes. I don't know if you heard these, Pat. Autographed Joel Embiid jersey.
Whoa.
It's the white Sixers jersey. This is what Mike was saying on air yesterday. An autographed Ben Simmons jersey. I believe it's the blue one.
Okay.
An autographed Julius Erving basketball.
That's awesome.
This is the best one. An autographed Allen Iverson jersey. Okay. Awesome, as it is. Apparently, it's from the 2001 finals.
What?
Apparently, it's one of the game-worn jerseys.
No way.
That's what I heard.
This is the first time I'm hearing this.
That's what Mike said yesterday on air.
Oh, this is one of those where I will be sitting by the prize closet praying to God that whoever wins this doesn't pick it up within 30 days.
It's been 30 days. It's mine now.
Yeah,
like, that's
amazing.
Awesome prize. So 7-6 Day is going to be incredible. As my shirt says, Pat, it's going to be lit.
Yeah, but yours is for another reason. Don't know if you saw, but I gave your Lithuania a little bit of a shout out on Twitter.
I did
there.
See that. So I'm wearing a shirt that says it's lit, and of course the first three letters of Lithuania are LIT, and it's got the colors of the flag. It's an awesome shirt.
It is a cool shirt.
Mark, when I walked in today, asked me, you know, where I got it or if I made it or something.
You said Lithuania.
No, I got it at the Lithuanian Festival in Philadelphia, which happens first weekend of every November.
Of course.
Obviously, at the Philadelphia Music Hall.
Yeah, where else would it be?
Why wouldn't you go to that? One of my groomsmen bought it for me and a couple of the other groomsmen to wear underneath our tuxes at the wedding. The problem is he bought it and then just like left in his car and never washed it. So he gives it to me after I showered, right? After I shaved, I'm smelling nice. And he hands it to me. I'm like, dude, this is awesome. He goes, here, before you know, get changed, why don't you put this on? Just smell like straight vinegar.
Why?
I don't know. It was probably just... Because, again, it was just in his car. The festival happened early November, so it's still warm out.
Okay.
So it's just been sitting in his car.
So I just started playing hockey again.
Yes.
Our first practice back was this week.
Yeah.
It was Monday. And I've gone nose blind to how my car smells because I keep my equipment in my trunk.
Right.
I always think, oh, yeah, if it's in my trunk, it's not going to stink up the car, and it always does. But I go nose blind to it, and I thought... Driving to the rink, man, after 3 months, is there a chance that the stench is gone from my car?
Hell no, it's worse.
Well, I hadn't played in 3 months. You know, the equipment's dry. First time it's been dry in a while or whatever. So I play, put the stuff in my trunk. I wake up for the morning show the next day. And as soon as I get in my car, I go, oh my God. Yeah, it's back.
It's
like it might have gone away, but it's definitely back now. And this is, by the way, this is about 3 hours after I had practice because I got home late.
Yeah.
And I had a hoodie in my car that I use because sometimes the studios are cold here. And I put on the hoodie and I go, oh my God. I left the hoodie in my car and it smells horrible. I'm gonna throw it out.
A lot of us went to Xfinity Live for a Sixers game once. I think it was the one
they lost.
Yeah, it was the one they lost. But it was the Celtics series.
Yeah,
right?
we went to one for the Toronto, and I think we went back to back years.
So
I drove you home once.
Yes, you drove me home once. And as I was about to get in your car, you said, and I quote, "Sorry for the smell."
Oh yeah, I've had people immediately get in and roll down a window. So bad.
I appreciated the heads up. All right, I'm going to open up the next baseball waiver in a couple of minutes. If you want to jump in, let's go to Edward in South Florida. Edward, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Hey, good afternoon, fellas.
What's up, Edward?
Hey, how's it going? It's a beautiful day here in South Florida, and I want to give a shout out to Northeast Philly, Archbishop Ryan, Amber PA. What's going on?
They say hello.
No, we're only Doherty people here, bud, so keep it moving.
Wow.
Hey, I'm a transplant down here, and I represent Philly. I'm just saying, I love Carson Wentz, man. You know, I have to wear a face mask. I work at Wawa, a brand new store here in Carl Springs.
Okay.
I get plenty of Eagles fans. How about that plug? I get plenty of Eagles fans come in with my face mask, say, go Birds.
Yep.
And they say the same thing. Do you like Carson Wentz? I love Carson Wentz.
Well, I'm glad that you love Carson Wentz, but there are people, maybe you've been away from Philadelphia for too long, there are people in this city that for some reason don't like him, and they almost root against him at this point.
Are you kidding me? He's a leader, man.
Yes, he is. I agree, but people are too attached to Nick Foles, and as soon as Jalen Hurts got drafted, it's a very vocal minority, but there are a minority of people that say, you know what, no, Jalen Hurts is the next guy.
Hey, I love Nick Foles. And my best friend's a Bear fan, so I'm rooting for the Bears, too. So what?
I can't root for the Bears. Nick Foles is dead to me.
That's okay. We don't play them this year.
Okay. All right, so you go ahead. What happens if they see each other in the playoffs, Edward?
That's great. Maybe get another double doink.
All right, that would be great. Now, Edward, are you a man that enjoys the beer?
I'm drinking a Yingling right now, brother.
All right, so I got to ask you. I don't know if you heard that my little conundrum earlier today that I talked about. Last night I went out to dinner, outdoor dining only. It was really hot outside. I was very full. I was uncomfortable because of the heat. I had half a beer left, more than half a beer left. And I considered, do I finish this or not? I finished it, but I felt like absolute dog, you know what, afterward. So, Edward, is it a violation to leave the beer at the table at the restaurant?
Absolutely, because my friends will get me out of the car and say, you left some beer on the bar.
Oh, that's awesome. You have good friends, Edward. I appreciate the call, man. Enjoy South Florida. Enjoy it down there. All right, so I think a lot of people are in agreement that you got to finish it. And let's see. Christy likes beer on Twitter. That's awesome. She goes, finish the beer, leave the food. I've had people say, obviously finish the beer and bring the food home, but I'm not going to bring home a quarter of a sandwich and six French fries. But Pat Egan says to do it.
It's a power move.
You can't. No, it's not a power move.
I'm kidding.
You can't.
I didn't know you had that little bit of food.
You can't bring home a quarter of a sandwich.
Yeah, that's. You can't. At that point, you either abandon it all or you finish it all.
Now Steve on Twitter goes, it is a violation, and he also said it was poor stomach planning on my part, which it was. If anything, I should not have ordered the rest of the beer or the next beer. I should have just finished the meal, gone home, and had a beer at home. But I don't know. With everything going on in the world, the taste of a draft beer is already better.
Wait, did you just use with everything going on in the world for an excuse to order another beer?
Yes.
That you didn't really need?
100%.
I just don't know if I'm ever going to get another one.
Beer drinkers will agree with me that the draft beer is the superior beer. It is better than anything in a can. It is better than anything in a bottle. It is better than anything in a growler. It is better than,
I'll take your word for it.
Yes, of course. So the draft beer is the superior beer. And because with everything going on, I haven't been able to enjoy the draft beer in a while. So what am I going to do? I'll get the extra draft beer, feel like crap afterward, but at least I enjoyed it. Well, I didn't really enjoy it because I was feeling like total. I was just so full. It was awful. But I finished it. That's all that matters. 610-632-0975. Couple open lines. Jeff, Jack, hang tight for a second. I just want to open up the baseball waiver real quick. And I was having this conversation with Pat earlier. And I'm trying to formulate this in a specific way because I don't want to offend anybody. But baseball, during the labor negotiations, obviously looked just so bad. It was so bad because it was public. They were complaining about millions of dollars, millions and billions and all that stuff. And we're sitting here saying, all right, well, we're taking pay cuts. You know, everybody's taking a pay cut. Just go out there and play for us. But people started ripping baseball, crushing baseball, to the point where people said, you know what? I don't want them to come back. I don't care about baseball. So I have to ask you, because I have the waivers on the table, and in case you're just tuning in, obviously there's a lot of waivers out there, waivers for fans to attend games. If you get sick, you can't sue. Waivers for players, if they get sick and God forbid pass away, that their families can't sue to get money. Because of all these dark waivers out there, I want to have some Philadelphia 4-for-4 waivers. Can't rip Ben Simmons if he plays well in the playoffs. Would you sign a waiver that Brett Brown remains the coach for another year if they get to the Eastern Conference Finals and there's only 2 months before the start of the next season and only really a month until the start of training camp? I have the Carson Wentz waiver out there. If he plays like an MVP this year, would you say without hesitation he's the franchise quarterback for 2 years? 2 years. And you also cannot, you have to support him the way you did in 2017. You have to respect him the way you did in 2017. Would you sign that waiver? I feel like the majority would not. The majority now. Because 2017 seems like a lifetime ago with Carson Wentz. And I think even people who respect and support Carson Wentz now still have those concerns about his injuries. I go fluke injury with the concussion. I even say the torn ACL was a fluke injury because he was sandwiched in between a linebacker and a defensive end, right? That happens. Anybody's knee is going to probably blow out in that situation. But a lot of people are still saying, okay, you know what? It's still kind of fluky, these injuries. So I don't want to sign that waiver. I think a lot of people would refrain to sign that waiver. But would you sign that waiver? 2 years, you have to respect him and support him the way you did in 2017 if he plays like an MVP this year. The baseball waiver. For all of you who ripped baseball to the point where you said, I don't want it back. I don't want it back this season. 60 games is bogus. It's stupid. Okay, I'm done. If that's the case, if you really are anti-baseball to this point, that means you can't watch a game this year.
Wow.
You can't watch one game this season. To the point where people said, I don't want it to come back. If you truly believe that, if you truly felt that way, you're not allowed to watch one Phillies game this year. You're not allowed to watch one MLB on Fox Saturday, 4 o'clock first pitch. You're not allowed to watch one game.
Now, there are some people that would say that's fine because of the fact that we're going to have other sports going on.
Uh-huh. But here's what's going to happen, Pat. As much as I think 60 games is bogus and you have to put an asterisk next to the title, whoever wins the World Series, there is going to be a heightened amount of excitement when it comes to 60 games. There are going to be people that are saying, wow, this is the greatest thing in baseball since McGuire and Sosa. Because it's 60 games, only 60 games, and every game matters. And what do we do in the world, Pat? What do we do when everybody's talking about something? We sort of all sort of glom onto it, right? Everybody talked about Tiger King. Tiger King went viral. So what did people do? I don't watch TV. I don't really watch movies. What did I do, Pat? I watched the entire thing of Tiger King because everybody was talking about it.
Yeah.
So if a lot of people are talking about how great baseball is because it's just a 60, right? You're 30 games through. Oh my God, there's only 30 games left. That means the stretch run, every single game matters. You know people are going to be like, oh man, I'm missing out. I got to tune in. But if you sign that waiver because you ripped baseball constantly, you can't watch it. You have to stick to your guns. You're not allowed to watch one game. Would people sign that?
Well, I think some people would, and I think they'd end up regretting it possibly because, you know, we had Andrew McCutchen on, and it's one of those, hey, what are you expecting to say? But yep. At the same point, you went, okay, I could at least believe his line of thinking here when he said that he expects their bats to kind of carry them and yep. The pitching just needs to hold up. And that's been that way for the last 2 years now, and the lineup should be better this year as opposed to last year when the lineup was pretty good. They've also a team that has gotten off to a hot start the last 2 years, and 60 games is, I mean, that's the hot start that you need to get in the playoffs. So because of that, I think that fans would say, yeah, screw baseball, I'm out. But I think 30 games in, they'd regret signing that waiver.
There's no opt-out clause on this waiver.
Wow.
You sign it, you can't watch.
Scott Boras did not negotiate this,
did
he?
No, he did not. Well, Bryce Harper doesn't have an opt-out.
That's because he's a man of the people.
So, are there people out there that would sign the waiver because you ripped baseball constantly? You were tired. You probably said out loud, you either tweeted it, you called it in the station, you said it to a buddy of yours, you said out loud or typed it out, I don't care if baseball comes back this year, I'm out, I don't want baseball to come back. If you said that, would you sign the waiver that you're not allowed to watch one single game this season, not one pitch this season, Phillies or any team in Major League Baseball? The other side, those who were dying for baseball to come back, like me, but for those who said, oh my God, figure it out owners, figure it out players, just shut up and play, figure it out and play. There were a lot of people that got overly angry, I think. I was angry. I think baseball was shooting themselves in the foot, but I knew what was going on. They were trying to figure it out financially. For those of you who were constantly ripping baseball, again, rightfully so, but constantly ripping baseball, making it a point to call in, to tweet about it, to talk about it, would you sign the waiver that you have to watch all 60 games, all 60 Phillies games this season? Would you sign that waiver? That means that the Sixers and Flyers are playing in the playoffs, you still have to have the Phillies game on somewhere, whether it's, you know, on the iPad, the phone, or if it's the main TV. So, Pat, I ask you, the people who constantly ripped baseball for not coming back but wanted it back, how many people do you think would sign a waiver where they have to play, they have to watch all 60 games this season?
Man, 30%.
They have to watch all 60. And they were constantly saying, baseball needs to come back, baseball needs to come back, baseball needs to come back. All 60 games they have to watch.
I said 30, but then he said all. I didn't hear the all the first time. 10%.
Really?
10.
Because people made it an effort to constantly bitch
and once
and
again, it has to do with the fact that there's other sports to watch. And if this team ends up being bad, are you going to want to be dialed into Nick Pivetta?
You better be.
And another Nick Pivetta start.
You better be, because you constantly complained that baseball wasn't coming back. You said, oh my God, baseball's so dumb for not coming back. Well, are you going to watch all 60 games? So those are the two baseball waivers for both sides of the spectrum. Would you sign the waiver that you're not allowed to watch a single pitch because you said, I don't want baseball back? But for those who wanted baseball back so bad that you were crying and angry and so mad at Major League Baseball, you needed it back. You were dying for baseball to come back. You have to sign the waiver that you're going to watch all 60 Phillies games this year. 610-632-0975. We have the polls coming. I'll update the polls coming up because we have a lot going on. About violations, no violations. I have bagel violations that I'll talk about later on as well. But let's go back to the phones. Jeff on the cell. Jeff, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Hey, good afternoon, guys. How are you?
What's up, Jeff? How you doing, man?
All right, so Tuna's first question. What kind of IPA was it?
It was, so the first two, there's a local brewery in Manuel called Bald Birds, and I know they're elsewhere as well, but it was like two easygoing IPAs. The third one, because I needed a different taste, I saw something called a Blood Orange IPA, which I've never had, and I was like, you know what? I'll give that a try because it's going to be a nice after-dinner beer because it's got like the more fruity taste to it. So right. I said, after-dinner beer, cool-down beer, this is going to be great. But then I didn't realize after I took the next bite of my sandwich, I was like, why did I order that?
Oh, yeah. So you need to go something a little bit lighter there, but it's not a you got to finish the beer.
You have to.
You have to.
Which is why I did. I said, you know what? My damn ego is not going to let me leave this on the table. I got to finish this damn beer. But there are people that are right that what if I did get sick in front of everyone? That's the major violation because I just ruined everybody's meal.
Absolutely. But so I saw your, I'm not going to call it like a rant, but like, you know, I saw on the Instagram page, the what you were talking about with the waivers with, you know, the NFL and Major League Baseball, and, you know, would, are you surprised or whatever? And honestly, like with the fans and stuff, you know, so, you know, when you go online and, you know, you click things like I hereby, you know, like I will submit, like I submit that I will, that it's my right, that, you know, I'm exercising my right.
Yeah.
To go.
And you know what? You didn't read a sentence of it. You just saw I, and then you saw the box and you clicked on it.
Absolutely. Yeah. So, but it's one of those where, like, you know, so in order for the organization to protect themselves and even like the fans to protect themselves, like, you know, if you're going, if you're one of the lucky few that are chosen, you know, you have that, waiver, I guess, maybe emailed to you, whatever. And, you know, what they should do, the organization should do, is provide a, the specific health guidelines, safety guidelines of what's expected of you as a fan when you go in. And, you know, if you agree to it, then you must uphold those law, must uphold those rules.
Yep.
And it's also, I think, up to those workers who are in the stadium. I don't want to say to, like, police or enforce, but you kind of have to do that.
Oh, that would be their job, Jeff. I'm sure, you know how if you go to an Eagles game or if you go to any sporting event, on the back of some seats, they say, like, oh, if you, if something's going on, you know, feel free to text this number and give your section. I'm sure there will be people that, you know, they, maybe they might not be drinking at the game, but maybe they take the subway down. They're drunk by the time they get there. Their mask seems to fall off their face because they're tired of it. I guarantee you there will be people that send that little text line and say, yo, this guy's got his mask off. And somebody, I mean, that will be their job, security's job, to make sure, hey, put that mask back on. If you don't, you're out.
And then, you know, fans also, you know, being, you know, being accountable for themselves and for those around them. You know, you're pretty much being a lifeguard to almost everyone around you.
Right, which is why I'm not shocked that they're going to have these waivers. Like, I'm not shocked at all because it is up to you. And you know, you're not going to get sick from Lincoln Financial Field. You're going to get sick for you took the risk of coming in yourself, and you know that you're going to be around other Eagles fans that
you made the conscious decision to put yourself in potential harm's way.
Yeah, I mean, you may be the most responsible person when it comes to all this, but hey, Eagles score a touchdown. You just got so excited, you high-fived the person next to you. You didn't realize it. You touch your eye, boom, there you go.
Hand sanitizer, baby.
Yeah, you would think. Jeff, I appreciate the call, man. They're going to have, they'll definitely have sanitizing stations all over the place. They would have to.
Yeah, I mean, there's no doubt.
They would have to. So coming up, we got to take a quick timeout. Jack, you hang tight. We have open line 610-632-0975. We have all kinds of waivers on the table. We have a ton of waivers. We have a ton of violations that we need to talk about. I will update the polls coming up on the other side. Bob Nightingale just put out an interesting quote from Joe Maddon. A pretty interesting quote that I know a lot of people are going to agree with, but one of his own players, the best player in baseball, Mike Trout, sort of spoke about his concerns today, and Joe Maddon, the new manager of the LA Angels, kind of said something pretty interesting. And I want to talk about it on the other side. Hang tight. I'm going to give you this quote on the other side, 610-632-0975. I'm Andrew Salchunas, filling in for Anthony. He'll be back on Monday right here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
'97.5 The Fanatic.
'97.5 The Fanatic. I'm Andrew Salchunas, filling in for Anthony Gargano, Cuz Radio. Taking you till 2 o'clock. Anthony actually just texted me. I didn't see the text till just now, but he texted me 20 minutes ago. He says I'm correct. The draft beer is the superior beer. So, Pat, forgive me for saying, with everything that's been going on, I would like an extra draft beer.
All I wanted was an apology, so I appreciate
that. Forgive me for saying, wow, with everything that's going on, and I haven't been able to enjoy a draft beer in a long time, I might have overdone it at the restaurant.
You're not going to turn me into the bad guy here.
No, you are the bad guy.
Not going to happen.
All right, so I teased this going into the break. There's something interesting. I don't think Joe Madden heard the comments from Mike Trout. I don't know. I don't know the context of the question. But Mike Trout spoke this morning. And he's still not comfortable. They're expecting a newborn baby. I don't know when. I don't know when the due date is for Mike Trout, but he's expecting his first child. And he said, you know, quote, I love playing this game, you know, which is why I'm playing it. It's going to come down how safe we're going to be. He still has not said whether or not he's definitely playing. He said, and Bob Nightingale wrote a story on it too, that he's playing it by ear. Because the reason why is, before he can see his child, he has to wait 14 days before he sees the child, if he tests positive. So, okay, he may not test positive. All is good in the world. He gets to see his kid. But, I mean, we see it. Those four players from the Phillies yesterday, or 2 days ago technically, tested positive, right? Scott Kingery tested positive, Tommy Hunter, Hector Neris, and who was the other one? Kingery, Neris, Hunter,
Ranger Suarez.
And Ranger Suarez. Thank you. So four players tested positive. Okay.
Allegedly.
No, they admitted it was on the COVID list.
Okay.
The COVID injured list. So those four players test positive. And, oh no, you know what? It is allegedly, because you can be put on that list if you're near somebody who was infected. But anyways, all right. Regardless. So those are four athletes that probably aren't going to get really sick from it. But that's not the point. Mike Trout can test positive. Mike Trout's got good build, right? I'm sure he's not going to get affected by it that much. But his wife, who just went through labor, May, his brand new newborn baby, May. So Mike Trout still doesn't really feel comfortable about playing this season. So Joe Madden said something that I find kind of interesting. Joe Madden said, quote, the person that opts out is the person who doesn't want to follow the protocols at any risk. If you in your heart of hearts don't believe you can do this, you're the person who should opt out. Now, he's not wrong. If somebody goes, man, listen, and this is the NBA bubble conversation, I can't stay on this little campus for 2 months. I got to go do my thing, right? I mean, that's been a conversation. Stephen A. Smith, I said it before Stephen A. Smith, but Stephen A. Smith said it on First Take. Are you telling me there is not going to be a mid-20s single NBA player, single man, or maybe a guy that does have a girlfriend, or maybe that does have a wife, and let's face it, has the side piece? You don't think there's an NBA player that's not going to want to either go off campus or invite somebody on campus so he can, you know, take care of other needs, right? Like, that's going to happen. There is no way that one person, one player, is not going to have somebody come on, or that he won't leave. So we're all adults here to have sex. Like, that's going to happen.
What?
Yeah, we're all adults here. That will happen. Like, I will bet every ounce, every penny that I own that happens. Do we find out about it? I don't know. They do have the snitch line. I don't know. Like, I don't know if we find out about it. So I won't be able to confirm nor deny unless somebody does confirm it. But I guarantee you that happens. So Joe Madden's not wrong for saying that. But Pat, let me ask you. You are going to take every protocol, right? You're going to wear the mask. You're going to constantly wash your hands. You're going to constantly sanitize. All the weird rules that baseball gave, you're not going to give somebody a high five. You're not going to give somebody a hug. You're not going to spit on the field. You're not going to use, they advise not to use the shower after the game. Go home and shower. You're going to follow every single protocol you can, but you're still kind of concerned, right? You still go, well, I don't know about the guy next to me. What if I slide back into first base in the previous inning, the guy on first for the other team spit on the field, right around first base, and I just didn't see it. And somehow, some way, something happens, and boom, I get it. Is Joe Madden wrong for saying that?
No, I don't think so.
You don't think so? He's saying the person that should opt out is the person who doesn't want to follow the protocols.
I don't think he's wrong for saying that.
No, he's not wrong. But what about the guy like Mike Trout who literally says the only, like, I don't feel comfortable because of my bait. Like, I'm going to have a newborn baby. I don't want to miss that opportunity. Like, I don't know. Am I overthinking it where Joe Madden goes, yeah, if you don't want to follow these things and opt out. No, he's not wrong for saying that. But what if there is a person that will follow every single protocol but still feels uncomfortable?
Yeah, I don't think Joe Madden is taking shots necessarily. I think he's stating one aspect of it, but I think if you were to ask Joe Madden about that situation that you just laid out, I think he'd be like, yeah, that's fine. I don't have a problem with that.
Okay.
I think he's just nipping in the bud of, hey, don't come back if you're not planning
you're not
on actually going
everything.
To do everything.
Again, I don't have the context. I don't have the question.
Especially when Rob Manfred came out and said basically that if one team gets decimated by the coronavirus, they're going to have to cancel the season.
Yes. Which that would be problematic for all of us who want to see baseball. Let's see. I got a tweet. Ryan Field, thank you for tweeting this in. Keith Smith, who covers the NBA. Gordon Hayward says he will leave the Celtics and the bubble when his wife Robin goes into labor with their fourth child in September.
And he won't be back.
No.
Wasn't it that if you left, you can't come back? I don't blame him for leaving, but
I don't. Well,
that's the rule that I understand.
I wonder if he leaves and they go, all right, you have to quarantine yourself for 10 days. Because the quarantine period is 10 days, I believe, for the NBA. Whether you test positive or not, but if you leave, it's a mandatory 10-day quarantine. I believe that's the rule. So Gordon Hayward is already planning on leaving. That's if the Sixers don't beat the Celtics in round one. That's interesting. So, man, the bubble thing is going to be fascinating if all these players adhere to it. And again, I don't think they do. I think some players will leave. I think some players will have people or things snuck on. Like, it's... Listen, 2K is great. If I could get a free 2K, that'd be cool. I'd play it a lot. I'd play ping pong with you, Pat. That'd be fun.
All right.
But we're also not millionaires.
Is that why we don't hang out?
Yes. If we were millionaires, we'd hang out. Or if you were a millionaire, I'd hang out with you. If I was a millionaire, you wouldn't hear from me ever again. But these, you know, these players are millionaires and live so many different lifestyles, luxurious lifestyles. You think 2K and ping pong is enough for them? No.
Yeah, probably not.
Hell no.
Probably not. Well,
there's going to be a DJ playing at the bar. Okay.
I think that was the best part of that whole ESPN cut with Stephen A, where I don't know her name, but whoever made the point of, well, they're going to have ping pong tournaments.
Yeah, that's...
like, what?
That's, what's her name? It's Jalen Rose's.
These are pro athletes that are used to going from town to town and just running through it.
Yes.
I mean, somebody on Reddit did a thing of James Harden's production at cities with good strip clubs, and they're going to be sitting in Disney content with a ping pong tournament?
There's no way. And, you know, it's great that they're going to have all these things for the players, like the DJ, and they're going to have the bar for them and all that stuff, but come on. That may be fun for the first week, right? Like, Joel Embiid and Giannis Antetokounmpo might strike this incredible friendship, and they go, let's play ping pong today. Let's play ping pong tomorrow. Let's play ping pong the next day. And the next day. Let's take a break the following day. We'll go to the DJ stand and we'll request him to play a song. And then that song's done. And now you go, now what? We're going to go to an MLS game.
Okay. If they have one.
Yeah. It's like, all right, so that was fun.
That was cool.
For a day.
All right.
Yeah, there's no way.
So, do you know where the strip club is?
Absolutely no way. 610-632-0975. Let's go to Jack in Jersey. Jack, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
What's going on, Shunis?
What's up, Jack?
So first of all, I want to answer your waiver question. So I was in the camp of demanding that baseball come back. I was very angry at both the MLBPA and the owners. I won't necessarily say that I would sign a contract for all 60 games, but I would definitely say 45 or 50.
Nah, it's 60.
The only games I would miss would be Flyers playoff games, or if it conflicts with an Eagles game in September, like if it's a Sixers game.
Now you got to have it on the iPad. You got to have it on the iPad, man.
Well, I love the Flyers more than I love the Phillies, so I don't know if I commit to that.
Okay.
That's just me.
All right, that makes sense.
You're right that it is hypocritical. I just got a one quick thing for you. So I was having this conversation with my dad last night. It's a little off topic. About like the core four of the 08 Phillies team. So obviously Hamels, Howard, Rollins, Utley, and we were talking about like their Hall of Fame cases. And it's something that I'm sure you've talked about a million times. And my dad was in the opinion of 0 for 4. None of them should get in. None of them deserve it.
Jimmy Rollins has the best chance.
I think it should be everyone except Hamels, in my opinion. My reasoning is that Ryan Howard was the best power hitter in the National League for 5 years. Chase Utley was the best second baseman in the National League for 5 years. Jimmy Rollins was the best shortstop in the National League for about 5 or 6 years and has the most hits in Phillies history, although I don't know if that should necessarily matter. Cole Hamels, I don't think so. But
you can take that in consideration, the most hits, because the guy that he surpassed is the best third baseman in baseball history, Mike Schmidt. So, I mean, I think that goes on his resume.
But, yeah, I just want to know what your opinion is on the four of them and why. I'll let you guys go.
Okay, Jack, I appreciate the call, man. Hamels... No way. I mean, how many wins does Cole Hamels even have in his career? Cole Hamels in his career has 163 wins. No way. So Cole Hamels, no shot. Sorry. Ryan Howard. Now, if you base it off of production, which I don't know, sometimes I think they should. Like, the Phillies screwed over Ryan Howard's Hall of Fame chance because they called him up so late because they had Jim Thome in front of them.
See, I disagree with that.
Okay. What do you mean? Because they had Thome.
Well, I don't think they called him up necessarily late. He was 24. He was ready to come up, but I think it's just, I don't think Jim Thome, looking back at it, I don't think Jim Thome necessarily blocked him as much as we think.
Okay.
He probably could have came up 2 months early, but the notion that he was going to come up a full year early, I don't believe that.
You don't think, if he comes up at 23 and has another 30, 40,
I think he would have had a productive season, but...
Probably, no, he's not hitting 60-plus.
But still, I mean, Jim Thome, the year that he quote-unquote blocked Ryan Howard, he had 42 home runs.
Okay. Well, no, I'm pro Jim Thome.
Yeah, no, I'm not taking it that way either. Right. I'm just putting it in a perspective of, it wasn't like one guy was sucking, but at the same time, he was only 24. I think we had this feeling that Ryan Howard came up when he was 26.
So, Ryan Howard, if you want to take that into account, you know, we'll say, okay... He was delayed. His start was delayed in Major League Baseball. In his prime, before the injury that really messed him up, yeah, Jack's point is right. He was probably the best power hitter in the National League and was dominant and feared when he was up to bat. That stretch is probably Hall of Fame-esque, but it wasn't long enough, which is why Ryan Howard doesn't make it. As much as we love Ryan Howard, I don't think it was long enough.
I agree with you.
If he goes to the American League, right? Remember, for some reason, well, the Phillies hung on to him. And then at that point, no American League took him. He didn't play for an American League team, right? He went to the Rockies
and the Braves. And I don't know if he actually ever played a game with either. I think he was released by the Braves.
He played for the Rockies. He played like a brief stretch.
Yeah, I think it was like 9 games or something if he did play at all. Yeah. It wasn't much, but when he blew out his Achilles, his lower half was done.
Yeah, that was it. So Ryan Howard, unfortunately, no chance. Actually, he didn't play for the Rockies. Maybe he played spring training because I remember him playing.
He signed a minor league deal with him, but I don't think he ever played.
I thought I remember him seeing him in Coors Field.
Now, with the next one, though, with Jimmy...
I think Jimmy Rollins is a Hall of Famer.
I think I've showed you this before. I'll show it to you now. I keep a stat sheet in my wallet for when this argument comes up.
Really?
Because the anti-Jimmy Rollins crowd is very real.
Yes.
And when I bring up that Jimmy Rollins...
Some of it's for other reasons.
...is a Hall of Famer, I get, no, he's not. Well, and then I start rattling off the reasons why.
But Pat, the response is, but Chase Utley is. There's a reason behind it. We don't have to get into it. There's a reason behind it.
So do you want to hear some of these next... Some of the stats?
Next-gen stats?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, so Rollins is just one of 7 shortstops with 2,000 hits and 700 extra base hits. Rollins is one of just 5 shortstops with 2,000 hits and 400 stolen bases. When you combine those two, only Jimmy Rollins and Honus Wagner have 2,000 hits, 700 extra base hits, and 400 stolen bases. Rollins is the only shortstop ever to win an MVP award in addition to 4 gold gloves. And among shortstops with at least 10 years of service time, Rollins ranks 2nd in fielding percentage behind Omar Vizquel.
Okay.
And so, I'm not even going to this, but he has better numbers than than Barry Larkin, who just got in
a couple
of seasons ago.
And Barry Larkin, to me, before Rouse, was like the best all... Again, I didn't see Honus Wagner play.
You weren't around?
No. I wasn't around for Barry Larkin.
For Big Home?
When you look at numbers, Barry Larkin was one of the first of his kind, like the power-hitting shortstop, who could also field. Like, that's the thing. There are a lot of shortstops nowadays who have that pop, but are suspects in the field. Like, a guy like Starlin Castro... He's suspect at shortstop now. He's suspect at hitting nowadays, but that when he first came up with Chicago, it was, all right, here's this big bat, but, you know, we'll see what he can do at shortstop. Baez with the Cubs is like, he plays second base at times, but he was one of those guys who made a lot of errors, but hey, you know what? He made up for it with his 40 home runs. You mentioned Jimmy Rollins won four gold gloves, along with his incredible offensive numbers. To me, out of that crew, those four that Jack brought up, he's the only Hall of Famer. Chase Utley, great career. Chase Utley could be in consideration. I think in terms of consideration, Chase Utley has more of a shot than Ryan Howard.
Yeah, I agree.
Well, way more than Cole Hamels. But to me, the only one where I look at it and I go, that guy should definitely be in the Hall of Fame. Like, I say Jimmy Rollins should definitely be in the Hall of Fame. Not even consideration. Right? We have Donovan McNabb, it's up for debate. No, like, Rollins, it's not even debate for me. He's in.
Yeah, I mean, and here's where I think he's going to run into trouble is, as you know, you can only vote for 10 guys on your Hall of Fame ballot. And these steroid guys are creating a logjam on people's ballots. Guys that we all know eventually are going to get in because they're slowly ticking up.
Yes.
They're creating a logjam where unless that logjam gets freed up, Jimmy Rollins has a possibility of actually falling off a ballot his first time up, because I think Jimmy Rollins is a Hall of Famer. Okay. And as I said, you know, I have this piece of paper that I keep in my wallet that I carry around all the time to prove the point that Jimmy Rollins is a Hall of Famer. But with that said, he's not a first ballot Hall of Famer. He's a guy that the Hall of Fame committee is going to go, if there's a weak year, okay, let's look around. I think he will get in, but that first ballot that he's up, he's going to be going up against a lot of steroid guys who have been hanging around the ballot far too long.
Who should be in.
Whether you agree with that or not,
they're
going to end up getting in, but they're creating a logjam in the voting. So I think that runs a risk for Jimmy Rollins of getting in, because I believe next year is the first year he's available on the ballot. But I mean, this is a guy who, as I said, you know, compared him to Barry Larkin, he has more runs, hits, doubles, triples, home runs, and stolen bases than Barry Larkin. And he has one more gold glove than the guy. And he got in.
Yeah.
And it's not like they played in two drastically different eras.
I'm just trying to decide whether I respect you for the sheet of paper in your wallet or if I think you're kind of a loser.
It's both. No, it's both. But I got sick of... I would bring it up and people would immediately go, no, he's not. And I really wouldn't have the stats on hand to prove it. And I didn't feel like pulling up Baseball Reference,
so
I just typed
it up. You're that guy at the party that had been studying something for a while, and you've been waiting for somebody to bring it up.
Oh, yeah. Let's talk quantum physics, baby.
You've been waiting to bring it. You weren't yourself going to bring it up. You weren't going to do a weekend show and go, I have the reasons why J-Ro is a Hall of Famer. But you were like, man, when I produce for Andrew today, if he brings up J-Ro, I am ready.
I flung that wallet down. All right, so I'll tell you, this is the kind of guy I am. All right, I used to go to Mets-Phillies games, and you know that the Mets are by far, out of all the teams in sports, my most hated franchise.
Yes.
And their fans have a big part of that.
I'm with you on that. I go Mets number one.
Yeah, their fan base, it's just, it's like Jersey Shore rejects. And I would go there and have to hear them, you know, because meeting a quiet Mets fan is like...
That's not happening.
It doesn't happen.
Yeah.
So I would go and start quizzing them about their own baseball team.
You give them Jose Reyes facts.
Oh, yeah. Who'd you trade for Carlos Delgado? Oh, okay. All right. Well, what'd you give up to sign Billy Wagner? Who was your first round pick last year?
Wow.
I would just start quizzing. Well, why are your colors orange and blue? And then eventually they would just cave. They wouldn't know any of it. I go, okay, so a Phillies fan knows more than a Mets fan does. Okay, got it. Sweet. And I had one guy go, well, what did you guys get for Scott Rolen? And I listed everybody. And I actually got a standing ovation in our little section there.
Wow, dude.
Not a standing ovation, but people gave me a nice golf clap.
How many people were there? Like six?
It was pretty crowded, but like, you know, you got this 4'10" guy going up against a meathead, quizzing him, embarrassing him in front of his friends who were laughing at that point. I got a little golf clap.
Proud of you, Pat.
That's the kind of guy I am.
I'm proud of you.
You don't want this trivia smoke.
No, not at all. 610-632-0975. So that was kind of like an organic conversation because the caller Jack brought it up. So if you want to chime in on that, the Hall of Fame conversation, because, yeah, I mean, those were great players. I really only think one is a shot. As much as we love Browns, Howard, Utley, Hamels, we love those players here in Philadelphia. They won us a World Series, big part of a big run. I only think one has a legit shot at making the Hall of Fame. I don't think Chase Utley does. I don't think Ryan Howard does. I don't think Cole Hamels does. I think Jimmy Rollins does. Now, I do want to say something. So Bob Wankel, who actually works for Crossing Broad, he does Phillies coverage for them. I think he does a great job. They allowed media, members of the media, into the Citizens Bank Park today for practice. And they're all in the press area. So they're not on the field, obviously, near the players. So they're all in the press area. And he posted a video of Andrew McCutchen hitting a home run in batting practice. And you go, all right, well, that's okay. But he also mentioned, and I respect his baseball knowledge and his baseball eye, that he's moving well in left field drills, that's a good sign for the Phillies.
Well, he said yesterday with us on the morning show that he felt 100%.
Yeah.
And he said if there was one good thing about this whole pandemic, it was the fact that he was back to 100%. And around, you kind of expect that at this time. I mean, we're talking July, and he was injured about a year ago.
Yeah, but he's had the ability to just focus on that. I'm sure he's done BP, obviously.
Yeah, and he said as much. He said he's been able to just focus on his rehab.
His rehab, which is awesome. There was no like, all right, I got to get back. Let me speed through it. And then you come back and you're not 100%. Him feeling good and him saying it to you guys on the morning show yesterday and baseball minds that are at Citizens Bank Park today actually watching practice saying that he's moving around well, that's a good sign. Now, I don't expect him to play left field for all 60 games. You're going to have to DH him sometimes. You're going to have to move him in and out and, you know, let him come back and ease his way back in, load management-esque. But it's a good sign for the Phillies in a shortened season to have a guy who I didn't want to admit it right away, but was a huge part of the downfall last year.
Yeah. And
huge
it,
part.
I'm with you, man. When they started kind of the skids, I was trying to convince, can one a leadoff guy?
Yeah.
I mean, he was hitting 250, but he was getting on base a lot.
Getting on base, you know, a lot.
But he was having a good year.
Yeah, and there's a mentality to it. Just like I don't think you can throw anybody in the ninth inning as a closer, right? Like, you need a set closer. You can't go, hey, Sir Anthony, you're going to close today. Hector, you're going to close tomorrow. Neshek, you're going to close the next day. No, I think you need a set closer. I think you need a set leadoff guy, which is why I was so upset that the Phillies weren't making a trade at the deadline for a guy that batted leadoff in his career. Whit Merrifield was one of the names that I brought up. Dyson from the Diamondbacks. I know that he's not some stud, but at least he has batted leadoff in his career. But then you look at what they tried with Kingery, with Segura, with Harper, with Hoskins. Not one guy could take that leadoff spot and play at the level that Andrew McCutchen played. I didn't want to admit it, but I did. After a while, I said, you know what? It really must be Andrew McCutchen. So it's a good sign that he's moving around pretty well out there in left field. 610-632-0975. We have wide open lines. 610-632-0975. First time all show that we have open lines. So I'm going to run through a bunch of them. What I'm going to do coming up, I'm going to reset all of the waivers that we have. And I'll explain where I came up with the idea because it's based off of the waivers that people are signing in baseball and football or are going to sign. And if fans are allowed, there's waivers for that as well. But I have the Philly 4-for-4 waivers. For you, the fans, whether or not you'll sign these things. So I'll run through all of them. I'll open up some more. 610-632-0975. And I'll also update the Twitter polls because we have a lot of violations that we need to discuss. And I also have the bagel story from this morning where I helped out my man, Pat Egan. But my God, was I miserable. I'm Andrew Salchunas, filling in for Anthony, taking you till 2 o'clock right here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.